folks there to hear the word of God and to get enfolded into that gospel community. I am personally thankful for Pastor Brown, for him being here this afternoon, because it helped me be with my wife and her family as we celebrated Thanksgiving. So we're incredibly thankful for his willingness to come. He preached at 2 o'clock. And so now he's on for us again. So we're thankful for him. So, Pastor Brown, come on up and bring God's word to us.
Good afternoon, church. Good afternoon. It's a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes, I was on at 2. I am on now. And I have to leave here immediately afterward to get back to our church because we have a joint service with All Saints. So I will not have the privilege to be able to speak with any of you after this, because I got to hit those back doors. But I will be back, not that far, about 15 minutes apart. And so, as Pastor Matt said, yes, if you do know anyone, please send them our way. Crown and Joy Presbyterian Church sends her greetings. And we are one and the same, not only in the gospel ministry, but also in our heart's desire to see the nations that are in our communities come together and worship the Lord on the Lord's Day. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I can't keep talking because time is pressing upon me, but I would like to pray before we hear from the Lord through the reading and the preaching of His Word, and then get into it. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and most merciful Father, we thank You for Your many mercies that are new. We praise and magnify Your most glorious name because there is no God like You. You are indeed high and lifted up, holy in all of Your ways. And so we ask, Father, that You would be pleased to continue to meet with us and to speak to us, for Your servants are listening. Help us, we pray, to clear aside all of the distractions in the days behind us, even those that are ahead, that we might focus intently upon what You have to say to us this day, Your day, the Lord's day. And so hear our prayers for the sake of Christ, and we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. And amen. In your bulletin, you'll notice it's verse 17, which will be primarily what we consider this afternoon, but I will begin reading in verse 1, Exodus chapter 20. Beginning in verse 1, so I invite you please to take out a copy of the scriptures or an electronic device or whatever it is you have. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Please give your attention to it. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt, from the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves any carved image or any form that is in the heavens above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them, and you shall not serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, calling to account the iniquity of the fathers to the sons of the third and fourth generations, to those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands, to those who love me, and to those who keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished, namely the one who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. On 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your daughters, or your sons, or your male servants, or your female servants, or your livestock, or your sojourner who is within your gates. For on 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is within them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, in order that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And lastly, here in verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God endures forever. The title of this afternoon's message is You Want What You Cannot Have. King David, one who was ruling and reigning on the throne in Israel for a time, wanted what he could not have, but he decided to take it anyway. Lamech, Cain, Solomon, Jacob, Hophni, and Phinehas, there is essentially not one person, or at least virtually not one person, who did not have to wrestle with the realities found in this 10th commandment, namely the desire to want something that you cannot have. It is this final word from the true and living God, this 10th commandment, that is often overshadowed by the other commandments. If you think about it for a second, the 4th commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What exactly does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? We find ourselves in the midst of both football season and basketball season. I had the privilege of going to a VCU game with your pastor recently. And that was my first game. I hope he'll take me back. But when it comes to keeping the Sabbath holy, does that mean that we can, we should, or we shouldn't watch sports? What does it mean for us to be taking up all of our time in both personal and private forms of worship? Can we just miss church for the sake of missing church? Has the Sabbath day switched from Saturday to Sunday? All of these things we have to keep in mind when we're wrestling with the 4th commandment, or even the 5th, that children are called to honor father and mother. And of course, there's a little bit of us in there, too, as parents. I have 2 children, a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. And when I'm out in public, of course, that's when I really want them to keep the commandment. Because it looks good on me as well as my wife. But sometimes as parents, we get tired of telling our children the same thing over and over again. Can't you just listen to us? And so then we pull out God's word and go to this 5th commandment. Or even most recently, what's come to our attention is commandment number 6. When there was a man who walked into a Planned Parenthood facility, perhaps strapped with explosive, I don't know all the details, but he did have guns and he killed several people. And so now we have the 6th commandment in our face, that no one should murder. Or what about commandment number 7? All you have to do is pull out your smartphones, for those of you who have one, or go home and look at your desktop or your laptop, and you will know, even if you're on a safe website, how easy it is to be confronted with sexually explicit material. And so now we look at the 7th commandment because it doesn't just highlight the physical act of infidelity, but also the spiritual act, the lust that we have to confront in our hearts. So whether it's commandment number 7 or 6 or 5 or 4, we don't typically throw commandment number 10 in there. But if you're the note-taking type, and I see that some of you are by having your pen out, you can write in your notes or next to your Bible, next to verse 17, danger. Because if you violate this 10th commandment, I can assure you, you're on your way to violating all other commandments. God is presenting himself in this thick, dark cloud from the top of Mount Sinai. And his voice is thundering violently, so much so, all you have to do is continue reading in Exodus chapter 20. And God's people, as they are talking to Moses, said, we don't want the Lord to say another word, but we want to hear from you, Moses. And so they get their wish, because Moses will ascend to the top of Mount Sinai, but not at this point. God is still giving to his people this final word, this final commandment, when he tells them in verse 17 that you shall not covet. You shall not covet anything, not someone's spouse, not their employment, nothing, not even their home. Commandments number 1 and 10 are bookends. That is simple enough. But they work inward toward each other. Think, for example, in several chapters, chapter 32 or 34, when Israel was at the base of the mountain and Moses had ascended to talk to the Lord. And there was something inside of them that caused them to look to Aaron the priest and say, you know, we don't know what's come of this Moses guy, but make for us gods who will go up before us. And so commandment number one is a cognitive expression. When we think about other gods, not just the one true and living God, it starts right here in our minds. Israel's familiar with that as they've been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. And they had to hear of these other so-called gods. And so perhaps not thinking about the place from which they came when Moses had ascended, they cornered Aaron and said that. Make for us gods. Commandment number one violated. Because now they're thinking about other gods instead of the one true and living God. And wouldn't you know, commandment number two is then violated, as what happened. They then took off all of their jewelry, gave it to Aaron, he put it in some oven, and then out came this calf. It's just interesting how the text reads. It just pops out. Do you see the transition there between number one and number two? It started in their minds. And commandment number two says, don't fashion for yourself a god with your hands. And it went right to commandment number two. And do you remember what they called this golden calf? They were too sophisticated to say, hey, this is a calf. They called it the Lord. Commandment number three, broken. So when you violate that first commandment, trust me, and you're on your way to violating number two and number three and so on. But the same thing happens with number 10. All you have to do is think about King David, who ruled, who reigned. God gave him everything that he wanted. He gave him a heart that wanted to seek and follow after the Lord. He had the wealth that he wanted. He had the weapons that he wanted. But he also had a heart that's just like ours. I don't have to be your pastor to know that your heart is like David's. Don't fall, as I would put in my vernacular, don't fall for the okey-doke. In other words, what that means is don't hear sermons that say something like, hey, dare to be like David, and think, that's right, I want to be like David. The problem is you already like him. You need someone that's far better than David. You see, David, as king, went on the top of his roof, and do you remember what he saw? He looked off in the distance and saw a woman bathing, and he wanted her. David was married. This woman was married. And yet there was still something within that said, that woman out there that I see, I'm going to get her. I'm going to take her. Commandment number 10 violated. And as the story continued, there was infidelity. Commandment number 7 violated. He killed that woman's husband. Commandment number 6 violated. But also commandments number 8 and 9. Because he took something that wasn't his. He stole. And this was a king who was supposed to be reigning in truth and righteousness. And yet before a watching world, he bore false witness. Commandment number 9 violated. Do you see what happens? When you start from the bottom, you're going up. When you start from commandment number 1, you're coming down. Until eventually every single commandment is violated. Israel experienced this with Pharaoh because they had to suffer quite a bit. And one of the ways that they suffered was when Pharaoh noticed that they were multiplying a great deal, he got threatened. This was a man who wanted comfort. This was a man who wanted everyone to know of his power and might. This was a man who was one of the most significant leaders in all of the ancient Near East. And so when he felt threatened, he sent out first midwives, but that didn't happen. But secondly, he wanted all of the Hebrews to throw their male children in the Nile River. That was the way he was going to institute population control. It almost sounds a little bit like Margaret Sanger from Planned Parenthood, but that's another story. He wanted it so badly. There was that yearning within that caused him to violate the 10th commandment. And then all the others were violated. We're in a time of year, as you know, when we are making a list, checking it twice. Some of you might be confessing that you're sinners, deserving of nothing nice. I know that's not the way the tune goes. You guys actually feel like you have the privilege to say, give me. Isn't that how it is in this time of year? This is the one time where we feel like we have the authority to say, I'm going to make this list, and you're going to give me exactly what I want it, when I want it, how I want it. I wonder if Christmas has become a time when we can acceptably transgress this 10th commandment that says don't covet. But hey, you know, it's that time of year, so I'll go to the store on Black Friday and take something from someone else just because I think I'm getting a deal, but really it's because I really, really want it. Is that what this first Advent Sunday is all about? Having an acceptable sin, like violating the 10th commandment. I don't mean to raid on your parade, because I'm sure all of y'all already have your list. But maybe you are violating this commandment and you don't know it. So we have to ask ourselves, really, what does it mean to covet? What does it mean to covet? And then secondly, we want to ask ourselves, how do we actually know that's what we're doing? At the heart of this 10th commandment, we can say many things, for example, dissatisfaction and a whole host of other things, but at the heart of this commandment is desire. We want something. And God says, you want what you cannot have. And so we have to check our desires to see if, in fact, it's leading us to violate this commandment. But it's not just desires in general. God gave us the desires. He enables us to yearn for things that we want. We do it all the time. Some of us want to be married if you're single. Others of us want to stay single. Some of us want to have children. Maybe others of us do not. We want to travel the world. We want to go get a college education. We want to, I mean, you can just start to make this list of all the things that you want. And perhaps many of those things are not bad. So though at the heart of this 10th commandment is desire, it's not just desire just nebulously spoken. Rather, it's wrongly placed desires. That's what we have to wonder. Have our desires been wrongly placed? Because if so, remember, there's the 10th commandment, and you might as well work your way up all the others. Didn't start with David, though, did it? It started back in the garden hundreds and hundreds of years ago, when the Lord God Almighty used the very spoken word that we read today, but his own words to ensure that the heavens were placed where he wanted them, all of the stars perfectly placed, the sun, the earth, the moon, Jupiter. God spoke these things into existence from absolutely nothing. Maybe some of you doubt that narrative, others of you may not. But in speaking things into existence, he also created animals from the ground, and he enabled sea creatures to teem throughout the waters. And after creating all the things that he created, he finally, from the dust of the ground, made man. We're still worth something, gentlemen, just because it comes from dust. It's okay. But he took that dust and fashioned it, and then he spoke life into man. And he created a woman from his side. And he took this man and he took this woman, you know the story, and placed them in the garden. They had everything that they wanted. I mean, that's what we look forward to when we use words like eschatology. That's just a big name for end times. We start looking forward to how things, we hope things will be. And sometimes we look backwards to say, man, they had it good in the garden. And they did have it good, but they didn't have it as good as it could be. But things were still for a time sinless. Husbands and wives, there was complete transparency between you and your spouse. Can you imagine? No more lies, no deception, no anger, no fighting. They had what they needed. It wasn't only complete transparency between each other, but also with their God. And then they were tested by God's enemy. In the form of a serpent, when Satan came and began to interact with the woman. Do you know why I call her the woman? It's not just derogatory at all. And I'm surely not trying to be like Jesus, who in John's gospel looked at his mother and said, hey, what does this have to do with me, woman? It's nothing like that. It's because if you read Genesis 3, the wife wasn't given a name until after sin entered the world. Why is that? So Satan interacts with this woman, and he begins to twist her thinking a bit and enables her to see this tree that God said, you shall not eat from it. And it became a delight to her eyes. And then here's this in Genesis 3, 6 through 9. She noticed that this fruit was desirable to make one wise. Desires. Now wrongly placed desires. Because she took of the fruit and ate, then gave to her husband who stood idly by, and he ate. Death, immediately. Commandment number 6, gone. Remember, started in commandment number 10, that desire. Infidelity, commandment number 7, gone. James chapter 3 says, do you not know that friendship with the world's enmity with God? You adulterous people. Commandment number 7, gone. Eve took something that wasn't hers. Commandment number 8, gone. And then God, when he approached Eve and put her on the witness stand, and he says, what have you done? She had the audacity to say, it was the serpent. She couldn't even take responsibility for what she did. Commandment number 9, gone. She bore false witness. So it started way back there. And now we suffer the consequences for her actions. But it's not just her. You're guilty too, trust me. The same sin that invaded her heart is the same sin that you come out of the womb with, that you're battling with every single day. And so it started back then. And so at the root of this commandment, again, is desire, wrongly placed desire. And the way that we know that we're violating this 10th commandment is if we ask ourselves the question, how are my desires doing? Where am I placing them? And then if we have just a slight, perhaps, understanding that maybe our desires are wrongly placed, we need to see if we're violating other commandments. And then we can say, yeah, I've coveted. There may, some of you may have heard, I mean, you watch the news today and it's just, sometimes I just want to turn off the TV or get off the internet because it's pretty bad out there. It's always been this way, by the way. I don't think things are necessarily getting worse. Just once you get out of Genesis chapter 3, it's all downhill. But I was reading some news feed, and I heard of two men, at least these are, they said it was potentially three, but at least two men are apprehended, two black folks. So I see some black folks out there. We're here. We're good. If you ever visit our church just to visit, I talk in those categories. I'll say black, white, African-American, Anglo, because God made us that way, and it's okay to talk in those terms. You don't have to back away from it, trust me. There's two African-American men who apparently, again, the story's a little hazy, but as I read it, were robbing different homes and then ended up in some family's home. The husband wasn't there, and he had one of his kids, but the wife was there. White woman, and as they broke into this home, they stole whatever it is they stole, and then killed her. Why did they do that? Don't just say sin. I mean, that's part of the answer. Verse 17, 10th commandment. They desired something so badly that it would cause them to break into someone's home, take other people's belongings. Again, we're starting to check off all the other commandments and kill someone who was pregnant. 10th commandment. If I'm going to put it in my vernacular, I'll say it this way. Don't get caught slipping on this commandment. Because the moment you do, you're undone. But lest I leave you here in that manner, not all desire is bad. So you don't have to leave here thinking that God has made us to feel, to want, to yearn. It was about 10 years ago, I came across a list, and I wish I had the list. I forgot to grab it when I was left home to go to our church, and then coming here, I didn't have it, so I couldn't get home and get here in time. But I ran across a list about 10 years ago, and it started like this. I want a man who... And there is just like 75 things. I want a man who loves the Lord. I want a man who loves me. I want a man who's physically and mentally healthy. I want a man who wants to take care of me and a family, who wants to travel with me, who will cook for me, occasionally clean if I can't clean. I mean, there was just all of this stuff on this list. Like I said, about 75 things. And the, you know, the culmination of that list was, any idea? Me. My wife will tell you that's true, I promise. Because it was her list. And so she met me and she shows me this list. I'm like, that's a lot of stuff. So she's like, but look at all the ones you met. And she's like checking up all these things. And there's only one I didn't actually meet, so I missed one requirement, and that was a handyman. I'm just not too handy with my hands. But I'm trying. I don't know if you know that scripture in the New Testament that, you know, God will give you all more than you can ever think or imagine. That's me. So my wife will tell you that, I promise. But it's okay, as the psalmist would say in Psalm 37, he will grant you the desires of your heart. It's okay to want things. We just have to check it, just like everything else. Have our desires been put in the wrong place? So if we know that God's voice is thundering here, if we know that Pharaoh had issues with this 10th commandment, King David had issues with these 10th commandments, Solomon did, I mean, Israel did too. When they were being delivered from the land of Egypt after 400 years of slavery, who would want to go back to that? Let me encourage you to walk out here, the James River. It's over by the I think it's called the Lumpkins or something like that, slave jail, and then there's a trail. Go walk that. Let what's happening here in this book in Exodus become real to you. Walk the places that other people who were enslaved walked, and then come to this text. They were enslaved for 400 years. Who wants to go back to a situation like that? But as they were being delivered by Moses, God's Redeemer, things got tough for a while. And some of the things that they said was, well, Moses, why did you bring us out here to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Things were much better back in Egypt. We had all the water we needed, all the meat that we needed. As a matter of fact, there were plenty of graves. We could have been buried there. God was in the business of delivering his people, but in the midst of the difficulty, they wanted comfort. It's one of the most unspoken sins in our circles today is comfort. Misplaced desires. God is doing a work. He's taking them from the land of Egypt, bringing them into the promised land, but they wanted comfort. They coveted someone else's house. It was better back in Egypt. So it seems like everyone's guilty. All but one. But there's even a problem as we look at that one who is not guilty of violating this 10th commandment. The 10th commandment, again, that it tells us that you shall not covet anything. Your neighbor's house, your neighbor's spouse, any livestock. Let me give you a quick insider that I didn't tell my church, so I'm bringing something special. You can write this down if you choose. But what's interesting in the Hebrew text is the word that is translated in our Bibles, covet. It's essentially three letters. So if you thought about it like this, if you thought about an M and an H and a T, that's not it, but let's just look at it that way for a moment. An M, an H, and a T. And then there's another word that is translated here, donkey. You would think about that word as an M, an H, and an R. So the first two letters are the same, but it's that last letter that's a little bit different, right? T and R, but they're very similar looking. All you got to do is take off one side of the T and kind of round off the edge, and now you got the R. I wonder if God is saying here as a pun, when you covet, you're acting like a donkey. Does anyone read the King James Version of the Bible? No? Some of you know. That's what you're acting like when you covet. We need hope, beloved. The hope can't be in us, though. We're too busy violating this commandment and all others. But the very thing that we've been granted, we actually don't want. So on the one hand, at the heart of this commandment is you want what you cannot have. And yet what we've been given, we actually do not want. Jesus. As the prophet Isaiah says very clearly, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him. No beauty, here's that word, that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. God's Son, whom we've sang about, we confess sins, that one comes to his people and comes to you, and you reject him. Why? Because of misplaced desires. We're too consumed with the Burger King mentality, having it our way right away. And do you know what the beauty is of the story? He still seeks you. Have your family member or some neighbor keep rejecting you. You're calling, they're like, you're emailing, like, you're texting, they're like, sorry. You're going to throw your hands up after a while. We do that to God. And yet he still comes after us. He still says, I love you. Come to me, all who are labored and heavy laden. I will give you rest. He goes to a cross. He endures that cross and despises the shame. Even as it said in the confession or the assurance of pardon. It says he bore our sins in his body on that tree. Though we've sinned. Though we deserve God's wrath. He loved us enough to send his own son. One whose desires were perfectly aligned. Tempted in all ways, yet without sin. And still goes to a rugged Roman cross. So that those of us, all of us who are guilty, can be set free. So that you can have the forgiveness of all of your sins. So that you can be a right standing with your Father who is in heaven. So that Christ can give you his own perfection. Forgiveness of sins never saved anyone. I talked to, Virginia is very interesting. I'm from California. It's just, but I'll talk to people. Everybody's a Christian here. And I'll say, you know, how do you know you're a Christian? I say, oh, because my sins have been forgiven. Forgiveness of sins is not going to get you anywhere. You need something both removed from you and given to you. You need sin taken away and you need righteousness imputed to you. That's what Jesus has done. He's forgiven you of your sins. He's granted you his righteousness. And now you are adopted into the household of God with brothers from sisters from all walks of life that you can now have your minds set on things that are above, namely Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. Beloved, is this God who cared enough about you to die, to live, to rise, and to ascend? So, as you are this Christmas season continuing to make your list and check it twice, do you know why you have to check the list twice? Because if I'm not on the first one, you missed it. So check it twice. Amazon.com wish list, love books. But keep your minds on Jesus. By his Spirit who indwells you, he will ensure that your desires are placed rightly. And when you discover that they are not, repent, believe afresh, go back to this commandment that tells you not to covet a spouse, employment, nothing. Because God has given you everything that you need. Amen? Amen. Let us take some moments to pray and consider what God has said to us. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful again for your many mercies that are new and for your great grace. We hope, Lord, that you would be pleased to put these things more and more upon our hearts, that we might see the beauty of God in Christ, that we might come to Jesus afresh this day, that you would enable us more and more not to covet, not to have wrongly placed desires. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers for the sake of Jesus our Lord. And all God's people said, amen. And amen.
Friends, as we come to this next element of our worship service,